EA meeting, June 17th, 2009.
Gotta hit the little foam, the sock, I think, or foam.
Hello?
Hello, it's Alan calling in.
Hey, Alan calling in.
All right, we're going to go ahead and get started. Call this meeting to order of the Employee Assembly, Jason Seymour Chair. It is 12:21 p.m., 316 Day Hall. A new thing that I'm going to introduce during this, the call to order of the meeting, is a roll call of members. So just say if you're present, I'll call your name. Brooks?
Here.
Kroll Howell?
Here.
Thong To?
Here.
Grove?
Here.
Lawrence?
Present.
Nittman?
Here.
Here. Laura just arrived. Okay. Osborne?
Here.
Phillips?
Here.
I'm here. Stewart?
Here.
Here. Great. And that is a full EA. More than made quorum on our first official meeting of the 2009 to 2010 term with our two vacancies that we hope to fill. I would like to recognize our visitor today. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Ned LaSalle from CITIS, Application Infrastructure Support. Visiting to see the operations.
Great. Thanks for joining us. Is there any late additions to the agenda? I'd like to add the summer retreat under old business and under new business committee meetings over the summer. Okay, so we'll move on to the report from the employee elected trustee. Beth McKinney had submitted a report that David will now read.
Okay, Beth McKinney attended both a full board of trustees meeting as well as several committee meetings in May and June. And these are the highlights. One, an extensive review of Cornell's finances. While we and the world are still in a financial crunch, the good news is that we are on target with what was predicted for the losses. In other words, our financial assumptions were as we hoped, given the situation for the endowment, the state budget, and grant funding so far. Cornell soon will be receiving some of the stimulus funds as requests get approved. Currently, there are over 100 requests for stimulus funds for various research projects. Two, an extensive discussion of building projects and what will move forward. As you've heard, much of the building and construction projects in the works have been slowed or stopped. Very few are moving forward. Most recently, the board approved the construction of Milstein Hall and the Johnson Art Museum addition. A new website was created to explain each building project and the process for its approval. Three, we had 7,000 people attend reunions this year, the most ever, and they all parked in A-Lot. Strategic planning project this summer was presented by Provost Fox. It has a name, Reimagining Cornell, which I define as a serious rethinking of how we get things done. There will be chaos as we work toward a strategic realignment, but there is a plan. Fox is organizing a major university planning process, and the university has separately hired a consultant to work on this as well. I've seen the presentation about the planning process, and I wanted to point out one particular item. There are five guiding principles that guide the plan. The very first one reads, sustain and renew the exceptional intellectual quality of the university, recruit, retain, and support a diverse and talented faculty, staff, and student body. Staff were also represented in two other of the guiding principles. That's it. See you next time, Beth.
I'd like to state we have any questions for Beth, but if anybody has any questions, we'll have to ask her offline and see if she can get back to us.
Does anyone want to read this? Look at it.
Okay. All right, report from the chair. So I'd first like to say thank you for electing me your chair. I am very dedicated and devoted to doing a good job for serving all of you and the employees. I'm going to be really striving to do the best job possible. If for some reason you think I'm not doing my job to the best of perceived abilities or anything, please let me know. Just I'm all in favor of positive and negative feedback. Don't be afraid to talk to me about whatever's on your mind, whether it's something at the EA or your job or anything or how I'm performing, please let me know. As I said, I did introduce a roll call. I would like to have the roll call be part of our meeting minutes. And with that, so I'm probably not going to ask again, but since we're all here, and say, if you know you're going to be late or you can't make an EA meeting, please let David and I know, just as a courtesy. I mean, obviously things come up, you're going to have to be late, you're going to have to miss a meeting. Just let us know, because especially if we know that there's important business that's going to be coming to the table, that way we could offer you the ability to do a proxy vote. So normally something with a formal resolution that comes to this board, we will hopefully have that well out in advance. And if you know that you're not going to be present, you'll have the opportunity to talk to the motion sponsor, to ask them any questions, to see how you could possibly vote if by proxy. So again, if you're going to be late or have to miss a meeting, just please let me know. I probably don't need to know if you're going to have to jump out early for a meeting. I mean, that happens as well. So just, you can either email Dave and I directly, or you can email ea@assembly.cornell.edu, which will reach both of us.
What's the attendance protocol again? How many meetings can you miss?
There's attendance protocol.
Okay.
Yeah. I recall they removed the language from the charter. There is still impeachment proceedings if a member just blatantly doesn't show up to meetings or something like that. The spirit that I'm kind of going on is just an awareness of, we know where you are and if you can make it or not. And obviously if you start missing like 5-6 meetings and you never tell us why or anything like that, and it really seems like you've fallen off the face of the earth, I think we probably would want you to probably resign so that we could replace you with somebody that could really fill the seat and do the work of the employee assembly. So that's really my intent. And it's kind of nice to know, have it in the meeting minutes, that if you ever go back and then you know who was present at the table in the discussions. So. Let's see. President Scorton did approve our charter language change, which was basically reinserting the language that the EA can present resolutions and recommendations for change to the president and other appropriate senior and other administrators at Cornell. So that was approved, and the Office of Assemblies will get that corrected in the online charter. And so hopefully our charter is now fully up to date and ready to go. Okay, that's it. That's all I have for the report from the chair, unless anyone has any questions or comments on anything that I've said so far in my report. Okay, hearing none, we'll go to the approval of the minutes of the May 20th and June 3rd meetings, of which the June 3rd was not an actual business meeting, but was our organizational meeting of the election of the officers. The May 20th, I'd like to call your attention to the discussion that ensued about the resolution that was designed to move the emergency grant fund or CARE fund to another office for administration at Cornell. Some of the notes are in here. I'd suggest you may also want to go to the employee or Office of Assembly, EA website and review the audio. This is going to be really important, which I'll mention later on in the meeting, about the new chair of the Grants Committee. This will help you understand kind of what happened on that meeting, but I'll also direct you how I think that committee should proceed with reviewing that business that is still kind of unfinished. So we'll give you a couple minutes or just to read over both sets of minutes, and then we'll entertain a motion for each one separately. We'll do the May 20th minutes first.
Make a motion that the May 20th minutes be accepted and approved.
Do I have a second? Seconded by Tanya. All in favor? Or do we need to vote on the approval of minutes?
Yeah.
All right. All in favor? Say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. May 20th minutes have been approved as submitted. And now the June 3rd Employee Assembly Organization Meeting minutes. I will entertain a motion to approve.
Question G. David should be Carmen. She should be she.
Ooh.
Okay.
Ooh. Ah, that's very.
As much as I'd love to be David.
So under Vice Chair for Internal Operations, it should read Tanya accepted the nomination, not David. And then the he changed to she.
If we have a cut and paste on that. Because they were also similar.
Any other questions or corrections to the minutes?
Yeah. I'll make a motion that the minutes be approved with the changes.
Sounds good. Second by Glenda. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, the June 3rd organizational meeting minutes have been approved. All right, that's always the hard part of the meetings, right? Okay. All right, we'll go on to committee reports. First off, the executive committee. The executive committee did not meet, but I did send off an email about some of the things that we needed to discuss, mostly administrative. The executive committee is going to talk about potentially meeting throughout the summer, or maybe a few times during our, you know, month and a half or 2 month and a half time off. We pretty much have agreed that our exec meetings will be conducted on Thursdays at noon. I had met with Tanya to talk about staffing. We'll talk about more of that in the IOC committee. Tanya has volunteered to take on the retreat planning, and she'll update us more under old business. And the first meeting, we talked about the CARE Fund emergency grant resolution that really failed when we all originally thought it passed. We'll talk about that under the Grants Committee report. And that was kind of all that we really needed to kind of tie up in the Executive Committee. Any questions for the Executive Committee? Okay, hearing none, we'll go on to the Staff Recognition and Awards Committee. This is where I'm going to do the first formal call to all EA members interested in potentially chairing this committee. If anybody is interested, please let me know now. Okay, Tanya says that she's interested in chairing that committee. Anybody else? Does anybody need a description of what the Staff Recognition and Awards Committee does?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
I would like a description.
Okay.
Please, do you have it written in charter?
No. Yeah, it's in the charter. Is somebody that has been on that committee before? Leon, were you
on? Been on.
You want to speak to how that committee works and what they do?
Yeah, when usually through publicity for having people submit nominees to be considered. So basically the members, they look at all the nominations, they prioritize them, and then they give them to another group, actually, that makes the final decision on who will receive, recognition.
Who is that other group?
I can't remember.
Under the revised charter, I think it's cleared up that the committee itself, this was under the old charter too, but it was
right.
The committee itself that decided what was given.
Okay, so the new charter, that second tier is gone?
Yeah, it's not
okay.
On the original charter.
Okay. Okay, so I guess then the committee members will decide who should receive the George Peter Award. And usually there's one person in the fall and one in the spring, I believe. Or is there
supposed
two?
To be four every year.
There's two. Yeah, there's two in the fall and two in the spring, ideally.
And what about the time commitment of that committee? How often do they usually meet? Or what's the time and commitment involvement to be a committee member?
I think depending on how many nominations there are, but I think it was basically once a month, possibly, or twice a month.
Yeah, there's been times when the committee's only met twice a year, though, so.
Sort of depends on the volume too of nominations. If you have three, you know, compared to if you have ten, depends on how many people you have to review and look at.
Okay. And
in addition to the George Peter Award, the committee can investigate or recommend other ways to recognize staff.
Anybody else interested in throwing their hat into the ring for chair? Otherwise, you can be members of, all members can be members of the committees. The chair is responsible for working with the VP of internal operations to schedule meetings. We'll get the meetings posted on the website. We'll make sure the meetings are publicized. And so basically, the chair is the organizer of the meeting, that runs the committee meetings, makes the minutes, and sends the minutes off to the OA for archiving. So there's not too much involved to be the chair, but you're kind of the leader in the direction. Okay, so I have Tanya for the interest in the Staff Recognition and Awards Committee. So we're going to move on to our Communications Committee report, which is staffed, or the chair is staffed by the Executive Vice Chair, so David can give a report there.
Motion.
Yeah, go ahead. David has a motion.
Yeah, we want to move that the Employee Assembly empower the Communications Committee to create a Facebook group for our Cornell employees with a blog, which is actually already created.
So put the
Facebook,
the blog on the Facebook page.
It can also be linked there, yes.
Okay.
So to expand on that, since I helped create that motion, there's been a lot of interest from new members and stuff, and some of the employees saying we should have a Facebook page. Facebook is like a massive new way of publicizing anything these days. And simply we would create a Facebook page or a Facebook group that Cornell employees can join, and we can chit-chat there and, you know, let people know what's going on if the EA conducts an event. The university also has a blog service that is blogs.cornell.edu, I believe. And I had registered a blog service with them a few months ago, but it has not formally been presented to the EA. And I'd like that as another tool for us to use. We can start blogging there if we want, and then people will be able to find that from the blog service, and we can publicize it in other places too. Just another way for us to get out the word to employees of we're here and what we do.
I have a comment on that. All of the social networking, there is a university policy that I'm not intimately familiar with that addresses some social networking, and presumably it would apply to the newer forms since that policy or guidance was written. So there are issues with respect to just having Facebook. People should understand what their responsibilities and rights are. So while I'm certainly in favor of these things in general, I do think we should look carefully. Some little subgroups ought to be tasked to go take a look at that, and I'd be happy to help somebody see where the responsibilities are, just so that the rights and responsibilities of using such a service are known. Once you're doing it on behalf of Cornell, it's a little different than just joining Facebook, or even that has certain potential responsibilities. So I think it ought to be looked at before we start it up.
Well, I'd like to add that I think we could go ahead and just approve this motion, but obviously everything we have to do has to be following university policy, and with you pointing it out, I think we can go back to the Communications Committee and make sure that the policy is reviewed before actually implementing it. Would that be okay, Alan?
Yeah.
You think?
Well, I think, I mean, I don't know if there's a timeliness to it. I think the committee should look at it, but I'm a little reluctant to approve it without knowing, without everybody knowing what the rights and responsibilities are. They may be minimal, they may not be. I think it's something that we just ought to know before acting on it, unless we want to give the committee, which is another way, you know, the authority to, you know, to then come back or something like that. But it's I'm not sure we're fully informed about what that might be.
Alan, while I agree with you, on the other hand, Cornell, there are Cornell units that have Facebook and blog, so this is not like this is the first time. This is, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, no, I agree. I don't think there's any issue. I don't think there's any issue that it can be done. I'm just saying we ought to understand what we're doing with respect to the, you know, how the university is going to view this. Are we going to have to put some caveats on it? Are we going to tell people that by subscribing to this, they're, you know, they're Cornell stewards, and, you know, what you might say somewhere else, not everything goes. Who knows what sort of information, comments one will feel on something like this. So.
No, I agree with you 100%, but I don't see where that should hold up the motion being made.
So what's the motion?
To create the Facebook.
To empower the communications committee to create the Facebook group for Cornell employees and a blog of which is hosted at the university, and to empower that committee to create and operate those entities.
And then we could just add within Cornell policy protocols.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but this was just.
So just put put that addendum on there, Alan, and then we'll get some information on the exact policy. But the resolution would state that we would establish this within Cornell policy protocols, right?
Okay, and inform the potential users of saying.
By users, do you mean writers or readers? Yes,
well, people who contribute, I guess readers are readers, but people who contribute to it. If I understand it, then I could be totally wrong. People, anyone in the university community can post on the blog, make a comment, interface with the, with, you know, with what we're going to be posting. That's true. Anybody can post whatever they want.
Alan, we have a, it's Tanya, but we have a Facebook page and a blog down at the Schwartz Center, and the way our blog works is that people can write to it, but what is written has to be approved by the administrator before it gets public.
Yeah.
So that's what I mean. So are we, is this motion also include that sort of supervision, or that was my point you're making, that what are we approving? What mechanism will there be, you know, such as that?
I think we're all saying the same thing. That's what I think Jason said, I think David, and I think Gary. It's within Cornell's protocol.
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure the protocol requires what time you just said they're doing, which sounds like a, you know, a reasonable thing to do. I'm not sure it requires that at all. I don't know. That's what I'm saying. I don't know the. All I know is there are some protocols that apply to social networking, and I think they should be taken into account. And, you know, and I would guess reasonably, and steps taken to reasonably assure that they'll be followed. So the Tanya suggests what they do there seems like a very reasonable step. Are we going to do that? Who's going to do that?
Well, so I mean, I guess we could add in the line that says, you know, and we will take steps to ensure that, you know, all Cornell policies are followed. Would that suffice?
Yeah, I mean, there's no urgency on this. Would you be more comfortable if we just held off on the resolution and then had someone come in and give us 10 minutes worth of protocol stuff? And
or we could just read it.
Yeah.
Look, it's not going to be me who's going to be that administrator. If there's somebody there, let's say the committee says, yeah, we need an administrator. Okay, who's that?
Before you called in today, you were voted as the administrator. I mean, it's unfortunate for you.
That is my own rule. If you're not there, you get...
Why don't we get a little back... I suggest we get a little background and then revisit the resolution.
I don't think that's necessary.
I mean, if Cornell says you can have a blog, they're not. There's got to be guidelines to go with all of this. If Cornell says you can have Facebook, to me, it's automatic.
They don't even know that.
I don't think we have to delay or postpone.
Yeah, the only thing, I had a site from Power Down to the Planet, and the only stipulation that is out there is that if it's an official Cornell initiative, they want it on the Cornell network part of Facebook.
Right.
That's the only stipulation that's
right.
out there that I'm aware of. We don't really own it. It's in the cloud. So certainly the normal thing that they would expect of any employee of the university in terms of responsible stewardship representing Cornell would be on the Cornell network is applied, but there's not any other stipulation on having a site on Facebook except to make sure it's on Cornell Net
right.
if you're going to do it in an official Cornell way.
Right.
And that's the only one I'm aware of, but certainly we can revisit what those other responsible stewardship pieces of things are.
Yeah, I can't get to it now in the room I'm in, but if you, I mean, I don't want to prolong this, I'll defer, but there is a long statement from CIT on this. I have the web address, but I can't access the internet from the room I'm in now. If you want to take a look at it and come back to this later in the meeting, if somebody wants to get on their iPhone or whatever, there's a whole long dialogue. But look, you know, if the communication committee wants to take on responsibility of
Alan, can you give us the address?
It's www.cornell.edu/policy/memos/facebook.html.
And we're going to need some
The first two, the dot before the two should be removed.
The dot should be after.
Yeah.
So if the communications committee wants to take on responsibility of getting this running and in accordance with Cornell policy and procedure, and they know what that is, then that's fine with me. I just don't know what that is.
Alan, I think this was supposed to be a simple little memo. I mean, the communications committee might have been able to do this on their own without being presented to the board. I just kind of wanted to have the board's awareness. I think it kind of goes without saying that everything we do has to be within university policy. And I think with you pointing it out, we will go back in the communications committee and make sure we review that the Facebook portion of this motion does comply with university policy. For the blog service, that's actually a service that's conducted by CIT, and of which I think they're already under the policy of use.
Yep.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I don't know about the blog. I was talking about the Facebook part.
Yeah, the Facebook part.
Facebook
okay.
is a cool tool.
So we got the memo on screen now from Tracy Matrano.
Mm-hmm.
It's very verbose.
And who was Tracy?
Policy for IT policy.
So, I'd like to. Do we have a second on the motion?
Second.
Okay. I'd like to call for a vote. Okay. All those in favor of empowering the communications committee to create the Facebook group and start using the blog as hosted by CIT. In accordance with all university policies. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed?
Did everybody vote yes?
Sit down.
I abstain.
Alan's abstaining.
Courteously.
Okay.
Did you vote?
No. Okay. Can you raise your hand for aye?
Thanks.
Okay. And we will have the communications committee present a report on what the policy is, Alan, at our next meeting.
Great. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Moving on to finance. Alan, it's all you.
Okay. So I circulated a proposed budget for the next fiscal year. It is really the same financially as the budget that was approved for last year. The reason for that is our funding comes from the Office of Assemblies. We've inflated for $9,400, which is no reduction from last year, which is a nice benefit and courtesy from Office of Assemblies. And talking about it at an executive committee meeting, I guess the last one we held, the suggestion was that we keep the slots in place while there's some potential changes that may take place that would modify it, but we hold the place for the items that had previously been approved. There may be some shuffling around within the overall number as things emerge. For example, the election, the amount that it costs to run an election is hopefully more in the budget than will turn out to be based upon the super work of Office of Assemblies in making this electronic. But we don't have that number yet. We really don't know what the reduction will be. So the suggestion that I endorse at this point is to approve the budget. It's the $9,400 with the understanding that we can reallocate among categories as we need to, which will be done with the board's knowledge and approval. And perhaps by the time of the retreat or one of the early meetings in the summer, we'll have some more guidance as to what might be expected in terms of savings. The emergency grant fund, are we going to need the $350 for that? That's up in the air. So it's really placeholders within the $9,400, and there's a lot of flexibility within that as the year proceeds.
Alan, is there enough cushion in this budget for other committees that are not listed here? For example, the university benefits or the personnel policy, or are those funded in a different way?
I don't know that they're funded in a different way. In order to fund them in this budget, we would have to, reallocate. There's no prohibition from forming another committee line and allocating something from Committee A into new Committee B.
But there's enough cushion.
I believe there's enough cushion. You're not going to, for example, there's $1,000 for the president's address. Now, is that, what we haven't really determined what that's going to be. So that where is it going to be something that's funded very modestly with some pizza at an event at the Statler? It's certainly not going to be of the magnitude of the energy fair / president's address. So there is some flexibility. Some committee, the new committee came up and said we need $2,500. Well, then we have to assess that and dig around. But my belief is there's flexibility for for smaller amounts, if somebody needs publicity or numbers for, some event they want to hold for $100 or $250, I mean, there's certainly room there. So just for guidance, last year's budget would have been more than adequate had the overages not come in from the energy fair. That really ate up the whole budget. As Laura, I think, looked at it, you can see, if you want to look at the expenses, that they were predominantly, overwhelmingly, out of that category. So there should be room for additional committees as the need arises. Yes.
Alan, should there be a budget line for the annual retreat?
Well, let's see.
Or is it covered in something else?
I think it's covered someplace else. Yes, it's in internal operations. Fall team building $600, spring retreat $600. The internal operations committee has that.
That's the same as the summer retreat?
I think that's the fall team building. That's what that's. I don't think we have three, right?
Are we having a summer retreat?
Yes.
So where is it covered? I don't understand.
I think that is the line. I could be wrong, so you could correct me, anybody who...
I think this is spring.
fall, the fall and spring cover that. One or the other would, you know, would,
the summer
would
one is
cover that.
Consider the fall team building.
Yeah. Oh, is that right?
Yeah, and the spring one is if you have another follow-up with Jim, like, say, in February, which wouldn't actually be spring, but it would be the spring semester.
That's what I thought. We had that. We had one at the live at the Johnson Museum,
right?
And then we have the summer one. So the idea is to have two, and that's where they are.
They used it to be happier if they were in summer.
But that's what I'm saying. It's a little confusing to me. So the spring retreat is actually the summer retreat. Is that correct?
The fall retreat.
Who's on first and what's on second?
So
why don't we name them like what
officially
they
we should call the fall team building summer team building because it's in the summer before the term starts. And the EA spring retreat would actually be winter because it's usually in January or February.
Right.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Can we call them both retreats?
Retreat one, retreat two.
Summer retreat.
Part one.
And then the only other thing is if there is a surplus, is it carried over or do we lose it?
I think we lose it.
Okay.
There was leftover from 06, 07, $393.
The money cut, so 9,400 would become 10,000 if we didn't, if there's 600 over from last year. And
well, it's sort of, it's at the discretion of our office, but if some amount carried over, I think that would be okay. I mean, you know, if the budget, you know, if you had several thousand dollars carrying over each year, at a certain point, I think we would discuss.
Oh, reduce the budget. Oh, yeah, I understand that. Because you're not using the money.
But the money can be carried over.
It can be carried over.
Okay.
Even in the current fiscal environment, because my understanding was that in the past you could always carry over, but this current fiscal environment.
Yeah, this is just one part of our office's budget, so it doesn't
affect the overall.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You have the same.
The
yeah.
Okay.
All right, any other questions? Then I move to accept the budget, subject to changing the Internal Operations Committee lines to summer team building and winter spring retreat, and with the understanding that further changes and adjustments may be made subject to board approval as future needs arise.
Can I just recommend one other change?
Yes.
The revised charter has a separate elections committee now for elections. So it's not really part of the internal operations committee responsibilities anymore. I'm not proposing changing any of the numbers right now, but just if we could update it so that the elections committee has a separate one.
Got it. I've already put it on my copy, which is open right here. Thank you for that, Harry.
With that addition from Ari, is there a second? Second by Gemma. All those in favor of improving the budget with the minor grammatical title changes, please say aye. Raise your hand. Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, motion carries. We have our budget.
Yay.
Thank you, Alan.
Okay. Welcome.
Now we're moving on to the emergency grant / care fund. This committee needs a chair. To speak on what this committee will do is this committee specifically in the past had administered the emergency grant fund that was created by the Employee Assembly. The chair of this committee is going to have some important business to do right from the very beginning, and that is to assemble committee members, possibly engaging the old committee members and possible constituent feedback to the proposed changes that were suggested in the last term that did not pass. And I would be looking for this chair and the committee to present a recommendation about, after reviewing everything that was said in the past meetings and the history of that emergency grant fund, to be able to come back to this board to present a recommendation of the future of the emergency grant fund.
So this committee has some important work ahead of itself, and looking for an organized person to be able to carry out that business. Have any?
Now, in the past, was the committee chaired by people who weren't EA members? Is that my recollection?
Pat's been chairing it for several years.
Was she chair of that committee during a time when she wasn't on the EA?
No.
No. Okay.
I'm going to say no, because her and Hazel were.
And the other members weren't on the EA. Is that right?
Right.
We can have members of the committee, but usually the chairs have to be a member of the EA.
There's room for a certain number of EA members who are not the chair as well. So.
Any interest? Otherwise, I'm going to be stalking you individually.
So we need, so like any committee would go down, I always want to ask the question, do we need the committee? That's what you're saying, in this instance, we need the committee.
Yeah, well, the failed resolution also suggested that with the move of the emergency grant fund to our different Cornell office for the administration and ownership was also going to be the dissolution of that committee. It was no longer needed. So that kind of is a separate issue, but it was all in the same motion, and maybe that's something that should be taken up separately. You know, let's make the decision to move the fund or not first, and then clean up the charter if need be, if there really is no need to have the fund anymore. So
do I understand it? If this committee acts in the same spirit as the previous motion, and if a motion similar to that is presented and approved, that the committee is really going to be ending its own life as the fund transfers to another Cornell entity, unless it decided to keep itself alive to do something else?
It would really, the motion needs to be, the resolution has to be rewritten for the new term. So it's all up to the framers of that document, whether they want to carry over the exact resolution as it was presented or make changes to it. So it's really up to the new framers of the document, Alan.
Something else to consider as part of that is right now that program is kind of in limbo, so it depends on the committee to be staffed and active in order to give awards, which means that if anybody has a need for an emergency grant right now, there's no committee available to approve such a grant. Also, that committee, we've been working with them over the course of the last year to try to develop some criteria that are a little more formal and clear about how money is to be dispersed. And those criteria have not been finalized or proposed to the EA either. So right now the program is kind of in limbo, which is becoming a pressing issue.
But shouldn't we revisit the original question on the vote?
Yeah, the original question was whether to transfer the program to human resources so they could administer it constantly to one of their existing program managers.
Shouldn't that be the first order of business then? Like, we'll have to revisit that? Because it's a procedural thing that...
It's in order to revisit it, because you have a new session, somebody has to propose it as a new resolution. They can take the existing resolution and just present it again, but it needs to be sponsored by somebody who's a current member.
I agree, Ari. This is unfinished business. If we don't get a chair of this committee, I would like to propose that at our next meeting in August, that this become the business of the assembly. And I would like to have presenters present the history of it, what happened before, and we're get a lot of things out in emails, so we have time to ask questions ahead of time. And if this committee can't be staffed, we will do the business of that committee in this body here.
Yeah, I was going to say, in case if somebody has an emergency next week or today, or who knows, they're going to have to wait until August to be helped.
I think we probably could take that. We could decide that maybe in the executive committee, or we could decide it as this body. We'll have to see what happens if that comes up. But it is a loose ends. There were loose ends in its history, but as a body, we really need to fix this and move forward however we decide to do it. So. I understand it's a
it's a complicated chairship to potentially be throwing your name into the ring, but if you have some interest and you're not really sure about it, just talk to me offline and we can talk more about it. It may be something that just is real quick. You organize it, we get the business done, and if it's gone, then that committee will dissolve, but I really want to make sure that we all understand the issue at hand and that we all make a decision that we are happy with. Especially because it requires a charter change, or could include charter changes, means we need to have a super majority affirmative vote yes, which means two-thirds of the seated members have to vote yes in order to change the charter. And that's where we got into a problem last time, is we thought it was a majority of two-thirds, and it's not. It's a two-thirds affirmative vote, that two-thirds of the body have to vote yes in order for it to pass.
The one question I had as I was listening to the whole thing is the concern that Lynette brought up was an audit concern. And what I was trying to understand is it a fiscal audit concern or is it a procedural audit concern in terms of, and I think Ari's part about not having fair criteria so an employee who was rejected could come back and say, I was discriminated against because I didn't get this, and yet other people did and explained to me how I was chosen in someone, or wasn't chosen in someone else was, and without that criteria and stuff, we could get really in a lot of trouble if it's the government audit. And that's why it's good to have a place that has a very standard set of criteria. I just wanted to understand, because I know that that was the biggest concern, saying you need to bring it to a place, and if we were ever brought into an audit investigation, it would like eat up all of our lives. I just wanted to understand if that was the audit concern, or whether it was more of a financial audit concern, or what it was that it was better to move it
all.
All of the above.
Yeah. It's a procedural audit concern.
Okay.
Financially, it's done through payroll. The person who's supposed to get the money gets the money, although there are no requirements currently in the policy to follow up to make sure that they spent it on an essential expense. They're given the benefit of the doubt on that.
Is it a non-tax?
It's a tax. Like supplemental income.
Okay. Yeah, that's a big issue. It's a procedural audit concern. It's a really big issue, and it's a huge liability for the university right now if we don't have criteria in place. So.
Are you volunteering to be chair?
Someone or someone's are yeah. interested in you go to Jason, you might also want to bring that in to hand out what you
yeah,
have.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Is it possible then that we can leave it as of today that the executive committee, if someone does have an emergency, would look into it instead of just leaving it cloudy or unclear of what would be done? Because then if something comes up, then what are we going to do? All be cold and take 2 weeks to decide which way we want to go and somebody desperately...
I'm fine with that.
Some money,
wanna,
some help.
Do you want to introduce that as a motion?
Yes.
Okay. So Leon is stating moving that the executive committee temporarily take on ownership of the emergency grant fund in the event that an application comes in before we get this straightened out.
Well, I just have a question, being a member of that committee, and not to be the stickler of the day, but what is the criteria that the executive committee would use, which upon audit would withstand scrutiny?
The same that you were using before this question came up.
Well, I was never part of being asked to weigh in on it, so I'd be wondering what the executive committee could be looking at.
What did Pat and the other members use to do it in the past, or was there anything?
As Ari said, there was no criteria, right?
They operated off of a criteria that the committee had that we did not have any record had ever actually been adopted by the EDA. So it was the criteria that had been around since the program was created 7 years ago or whenever, but I don't think necessarily had been formally adopted.
Is that on record somewhere, though, the original criteria?
We could pull a version that...
They must have
it was
on
circulated something. On the mailing list as well. They were trying to develop a new draft, so...
Because I just don't want somebody
it's
to get...
It's loose criteria.
To get victimized because we're not doing our job.
Right.
Have we given out money for them? I mean, has someone
Oh, yeah, people have gotten money for the past 7 years. That's what I mean. It's got to be
something. In the last several years, it's only been a few awards per year at the most.
Two.
But it doesn't matter. Somebody has gotten money in the past based on something.
Sure, right.
That's all I'm saying. And why reinvent the wheel and deny somebody what they need?
So, Alan, we'll find out some language, right? And then there's something out there. Then that if by chance the executive committee has to deal with an applicant, we'll have that language.
Okay. I mean, at that point, I suppose it's always possible to call an emergency board meeting. Because I agree with Leon. A person shouldn't get burned out of their house, which is one of the examples when this fund has been used.
Yep.
You don't want to be... everybody was delayed and everything to meet the need. I suppose there is a basis to call an emergency meeting if you felt there was a need for the board to approve the criteria that had been used,
right,
and we could apply the criteria. So,
right. Yeah. So
okay.
Question on the floor?
Yes, is there a second?
A second.
All those in favor of the motion to temporarily empower the executive committee to take on the work of the emergency grant fund in case a application comes in before we get the committee staffed. All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries. Okay. The next one, Personnel Policy Committee. The Personnel Committee, it's one of our committees that it formally reviews the personnel policies at Cornell and reviews those policies and recommends changes or suggestions for change to the administration. Is anybody interested in chairing that committee?
Wait, what type of policy? Is it different from benefits?
Yes, this one's...
So what type of policy do you review it?
Somebody
is it snowstorm?
Do you go home? Do you, when do you close the place down?
Yeah, I would say benefits are things the university gives you that
insurance
are valuable outside the workplace or related to your life outside the workplace.
Like your sure policy, you need
your work environment.
Time.
How about staff leave sabbatical leave?
Could be.
That's a personnel policy.
Are you sure?
Yeah, because that deals with leaves of absence from the workplace would be a personnel.
But it's a short-term disability.
I would almost like to suggest that the personnel policy committee includes all university policies except the education benefit, which we have a separate committee for. I think really the personnel policy could include and start a policy review on anything that we're empowered to review. So that could basically include everything except the education benefit. And other benefits that, like health care and dental, that type of thing, may fall under the university benefits committee.
Right.
So with the exception of whatever the university benefits committee would do or our education committee would do, that personnel policy committee covers everything else.
I have a couple questions.
Does that sound like a reasonable explanation?
Well, I guess I'm concerned about some policies related to I'd be concerned about policies related to maternity leave and short-term disability and parental leave. I don't know if that goes under personnel policy or university benefits.
I would say it's personnel policy because the university benefit would be not directly related to work, and a leave is directly related to work.
So, how long has this committee existed? What has it affected over the years? I mean, has there been any time where the employee assembly said, gee, we don't know about this policy, and we affected positive change or whatever? And is there a protocol and a pipeline that we get, policies to review? Or is it just something we hear about, or what's the process?
Is anybody here who's been on the personnel policy in the past?
No, I've never been to a meeting before.
The only thing that I remember, I've never been on a committee, but
I
know one thing was taking leave, some staff members
I guess, I don't know, they weren't able to take leave when they wanted, or not enough leave is being taken. Some people feel that, well, if I leave, who's going to do my work? And so I remember Mary
attended
the number of
policy committee meeting that was organized by the chair at that point was down to us.
Mm-hmm.
That was 2 years ago. I think that's the last time the committee met. And it related to a flex work policy. Beth McKinney, who was there at that time representing the wellness program, they were talking about a new policy to allow people to take up to an hour and a half off for wellness time. And I think that meeting was initiated out of Don making contact with but somebody in human resources.
Yeah. And then I think smoking was another thing that came up at one point.
Right.
You have this thing.
I think that there used to be a pipeline, but that the pipeline sort of died off.
I mean, there's thousands of university policies.
Well, I think, I mean,
there's a whole policy website.
Is your question more on how did the EA come to pick a policy to review?
It sounds good on paper, but practicality, I don't see it.
I don't know, but I think this is an important policy because it's really connected to our mission statement and how we get a policy out. I think that committee should figure that out. Is either you survey staff and figure out what policy really irks you, or you know, maybe we talk to Mary Opperman or some benefits
There's a committee on policy. There's a university committee on policy. And I think it would be good to get them in for like 15 minutes sometime because there's stuff like if I'm an employee and I want to sell something on campus, okay, that's an employee issue. There's a lot of policies. This is just minutia. There's a thousand things that are like that. And it's like if there was some process where, you know, this is going through and we're looking at it and we're signing off on the employee assembly, it sounds to me like we're hearing something on the sidewalk and bringing it to the committee.
I think in this instance, Gary, I think that you're quite correct to be asking about protocol and how do things get to the EA's attention. I think in the personnel policy area, that could be accomplished in two ways. One, the university policy office, which runs the site that you're talking about, does get notice of every change and or new policy that's presented. And so that committee could tap into that and find out on a regular basis if there are any new policies being presented. The second area is HR. HR has its own web of policies that are not university policies, but are HR policies. And that would have to be someone through Mary Opperman's office who would say, you know, we're contemplating a new policy or a change in the policy. That's how you can find out changes that are being suggested by whatever constituency. That to find out what our constituency might want or what we might want to proactively recommend, is another question. But that's how you would find out about proposals anyway.
Okay. I mean, I steer this back to the topic at hand here is anybody interested in chairing this committee? I think we've got a good enough description so far. Is anybody interested?
I might be interested depending on how it is defined because to Gary's point, it could be just absolutely enormous.
Okay.
But if it's maybe we present one thing a calendar year and as there are changes and there's probably two or three policies, HR policies tweaked each year, would you say that's about accurate, Alan?
We don't know.
Two
we
or
don't.
Three. Well, I know.
Yeah, okay. So
I saw it. So
it is really up to us to determine how much we tackle.
Right.
So if this committee hasn't been meeting in several years and people are afraid of how much commitment they want to, just do one policy. Pick one policy, however you pick it, and move forward. So
I would also suggest that if you do take it on, this is something that could probably be, you could get a lot of assistance from HR. I'm sure there are plenty of groups that would be really interested to have an employee assembly committee look at proposed policies and say where to deal with them.
So I've added to get a presentation on from the policy office, and maybe this is something that we can add to the retreat. That would be a very good one because it's really important for me that we do our mission. And our mission, one of the biggest things is review policies that affect employees. So. So I'll see if we can get somebody lined up for a retreat.
Yeah, by the way, the EA should be a stakeholder in any personnel-related policy. When I introduce policies through the policy office to the executive policy review group, the so-called EPRG, and you go through the process, I present it to the EA on changes to at all the assemblies, the EA, the UA, the graduate school, you know, and so it should be, but the committee certainly wants to be involved from the very beginning in that process.
And just point. A final note, I don't think it's only perhaps reviewing, maybe it's also creating some new policy.
Yeah. That's what I said. I mean, my comments only help you review what someone else is proposing.
Okay.
Well, I hope you jump in on this, Alan, because I think your expertise and connections are going to be valuable.
Okay.
Yeah, I can't share it, but I'd be happy to give guidance to it.
Okay, well, I'll talk more with Linda as a possibility, and we'll research it a little bit more and see if it's something she's willing to take on.
I would work on it with Linda if she's the chair.
Okay, good.
Linda.
That's very good. Good.
That would be my pleasure.
All right, so let's move on to the Internal Operations Committee, which is automatically chaired by the Vice President of Internal Operations. We're going to talk about, maybe Ari can help you out here. We talk about what is the appointment process once we have chairs in place, how do members get appointed? So, Tanya?
Well, I think we're
going to
try and meet and talk about that.
Yeah, we're going to meet to go over logistics, but basically there's a website for every committee, and that website includes an application which goes straight to mailbox that Tanya can monitor, and hopefully take the appointment straight from there. So,
do I get the emails as well when the tickets come in?
They don't go to a mailing list. They go to our trouble ticket system, so you have to log into a particular mailbox to access.
Okay.
There's much more to say about it. The new charter specification is that this committee will meet sometime in August to appoint, basically review all the applications that have been received up to that point and appoint as many members as they can.
To all the committees, right?
Yeah. And from that point on, the idea was that it would not be meeting in committee very often, and that the executive board would be responsible for staffing any remaining vacancies that happened.
Okay. I'm going to be writing a news and views column for the upcoming paw print, and of which I'm going to put out a call for employees to join our committees, and we'll point them to the EA website for more information and to start that application process. So hopefully we'll have some applicants by that August yet to be determined meeting. Sound good? Anything else you can want to add for internal operations?
No, I'm just going to wait for you to appoint chairs.
Yeah. All right. Moving on, university benefits. Since this is a joint committee among the faculty senate, I'm going to find out what the status is of this committee. Last we've heard for many months is that they were on a hiatus due to the budget situation. So I'm going to find out what the status of that committee is and then figure out what we'll need to do there. We actually appoint we're not necessarily appointing a chair of this committee because I think that it's already chaired by somebody else, but we need to appoint a member to serve on that body. So if you're interested in this position, please let me know so I can appoint you to that. Okay. Good. Thank you, Gemma. The next one, Employee Education Committee. This committee specifically reviews the exact opposite of what we want, reviews the employee education benefit. I previously chaired that committee. We were able to meet once. I might even be interested in continuing that because I am actually continuing my education, not through Cornell, for some of the reasons of why I got so interested in that is because the employee education benefit needs to be revamped a little bit. So So, is there anybody else have an interest? You do? Okay. Good. Steven? Okay. Have you experienced the issues involved
about
with that? Okay. Good. Very good. And okay. Okay. In the last one, or is there anybody else? Alan?
What? I'm tapped out on education.
What's that?
I'm tapped out on education at this point.
Okay. The last committee that we have is an ad hoc committee on our charter review. The reason why this still exists is that it was intended that the new EA would take on the last chunk of the charter that wasn't touched in the review, and that was the makeup of the EA. It's pretty important. It's basically going to figure out how do we get the 13 members, or should we expand the EA or shrink it or change how the representation is created. So it would be that ad hoc committee that will be doing the work to figure out things like how did they come up with this representation model? What do other universities do? Should we change it? Should we not? And so that's basically kind of a big brainstorming think tank group, and we'll then also polish up something to present to this board to hopefully approve. And our charter now allows us to approve the changes with, a supermajority affirmative vote to change our charter. And that's what that ad hoc committee would do. Is anybody interested in sharing that? Yeah? Mm-hmm. Good, thank you. Any others? All right. So what I will do is I will review the people that have expressed interest in the committees. If there's a gap in some committees, I might approach some of you and try to sweet talk you into chairing the committee. Or if there's a place where there's two applicants or anything, we can talk about possible co-chairs or something like that. And basically, I'll touch base with you and make sure you're comfortable with what the chair is going to have to do. And potentially at our next meeting in August, I will have I will appoint the chairs as soon as possible. And then hopefully the chairs can maybe start to assemble some meetings or public meetings where to try to get people to join their committees. Okay? So we have just a few minutes left, and we might be able to get through this. So I'm going to turn it over in old business to the summer retreat to Tanya. She's got a few things to comment on the summer retreat to ask us what we want to do about that.
I have to drop out, but I will touch base with you later to find out what I missed.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Alan.
Okay. Bye-bye.
See you, Alan.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.
The phone button.
Yep.
Okay.
Thank you. Amy gave me a couple of possible weeks that looked good for people for the summer retreat, the week of August 3rd through the 7th and 10th through the 14th. I called the chamber. The only date that they had available during that two-week span is the 5th or the 7th of August. The only problem is that Jim Sheridan, the person that we would want to facilitate, is not available on either of those dates. He would be available the 10th, 11th, or 13th. In the afternoon, he's available all day. So I was talking with Jason a little bit, and the question is to us, is the location the bigger issue, or is it more important for us to have Jim there to facilitate? Do we want someone else to facilitate, or if that was kind of the big thing?
Do we need a facilitation?
I don't know, you tell me.
That was the question I proposed. I mean, I'm happy to part facilitate with somebody else. I mean, I think if we have this all day and we get somebody from the policy office to present, they'll present for maybe an hour with some discussion, want us to review our goals, the goals that have been worked on for the past several years with the EA, and then just some general discussion. We'll have a couple icebreakers and team building activities so we all get to know each other. I mean, we may be able to facilitate it ourselves this time. And then
I agree with Gary, and I don't think we need a formal facilitator.
Would that save us money as well?
Yeah.
We pay for facilitator.
There you go.
Not that I'm aware.
He's an employee.
He's an employee.
Yeah, but they're revenue.
Right. Oh, are they?
Yeah.
Sure. We have to pay them. I've
never seen any. He's never sent you a bill?
No.
Okay.
I think if you wanted to be back, they have a couple hundred bucks.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe not, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
It's just a question.
I can't do the 10th, 11th, and 12th, I wrote them down, Empire Farm Day.
Okay, so that's, those are the dates that would know.
If we don't have Jim, without Jim, then the dates that are available, the 5th through the 7th, so looking
at the 7th. Okay. I can't do the 7th.
Okay, since we're all here except Alan.
What days are they?
The 3rd is Monday, so the 5th is a Wednesday, 7th to Friday.
So does Friday the 7th work for mostly everybody here, except for Alan, since we don't know?
Is that for all days?
Yeah.
And the time is what?
Last year it was 9 to 4. That's what we're looking at again.
Okay.
That would be at the Chamber of Commerce.
Where is that?
Down by the
Short Lake. Park.
Yeah.
Just because Youth Bureau is next door to it. It's the Chamber of Commerce.
I'll find it.
There are any objections to locking in Friday the 7th and we do it without a facilitator?
Sounds good.
Okay. Consensus passes. All right. The last thing in new business real quick is committee meetings over the summer. The exec committee is probably going to meet a couple of times to see what other business is floating around there that we may have to deal with. And then if the committees get staffed, I'd like to see if the chairs can host a meeting. Maybe it's just a get-to-know-the-committee meeting and open it up to all employees to attend and maybe just as an info session, share what the committee does, maybe try to get some more people interested. So I'd like to push for people to try to do that. So is the last thing is open forum. Is there anything that anyone has to say or any announcements? Ned?
No.
All right, so I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Exactly.
Good. And we are adjourned.
Very good.
1:32 p.m. Thank you.
Good job.
Oh, great.